All good in the hood?
Hi, sweetie. You're pretty. Yeah.
Dinky boy! Stinky
Who's
boy!
That?
Stinky
Who's
boy!
That?
Stinky boy! Stinky boy, stinky boy, stinky boy!
He's so upset. He's so
He's like, who is that? I can't bark at him.
He just went to the groomer and they like got his shedding.
Undercoat? Wait,
undercoat?
Have you used a Furminator?
Like, no, but I want one.
Yeah, get it immediately. Because I was like, holy fuck. A fluff this big came off Whitman. Yeah. And a fluff this big came off Bastille. Yeah. And I still vacuum up every day, like, a whole Dyson thing. It's disgusting.
Yeah, same. Yeah, our house is covered
But
in
get
hair.
One. They're so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because they used that. They must have used that on him. And he's, like,
yeah,
so
silky.
Everything's so much thinner. Like, it's...
Oh. No, it's like, and it's also God, really therapeutic to just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Yes!
Fucking fur! It's not on my bed or my couch or on the floor or my bathroom. It's just everywhere. Like, I can't escape it.
This segment has been brought to you by Furminator. But seriously.
Fucking dogs.
You're listening to Something Weird. I'm your co-host, Anna, and this is Brooke.
Hello. Here you'll find semi-regular dialogue on all things paranormal, or even just a little bit weird. We're lifelong friends who have had an affinity for the strange since we met. And now we are here to lurk among the weirdness with you.
Each week, one of us will dig into a paranormal tale as we ponder the question, do we want to believe? It's my week to share.
Woo.
It's a big week.
I get to just drink wine. I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mills, you have gone into a stage of your life where you hate flying.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, and that wasn't a thing when you were younger, was it?
No. When I was a kid, I loved flying, and I actually enjoyed turbulence. Like, I thought it was fun to, like, bounce around. And, like, now just the thought of getting on a plane makes me kind of...
You're just popping CBD pills like there's no tomorrow.
We are flying to Boston in a couple of days next week. And I think I'm going to have to travel alone because Zach is going early for work. And I found on... Do you know Headspace? The, like, meditation app? I love it.
I love the animations. So they're so cute.
They have one that's specific for flight anxiety. So
okay.
I'm going to listen to it next flight I take. And we'll see if it helps.
Hey, whatever floats your boat.
Honestly, or just like a big glass of champagne.
Whiskey.
Yeah, I don't like
so,
to fly.
There are probably a million reasons why you don't like to. I know a lot of people don't enjoy it. I love it. And I still love turbulence, because if I'm going to go down, might as well be memorable. Not that I, like, it's questionable of whether I'm going down, I'm going to die. Like, that's a fact, but let's make it memorable. But I didn't know you were flying in a few days. Otherwise, like, I might not have gone over this one, but we're going to...
Great.
We're going to investigate haunted airports.
Oh, ooh, I'm excited. I have thoughts and
there's a plane going over as I speak.
How soothing. I can hear it.
So there are actually a lot of haunted airports, which kind of makes sense once you do a little bit of digging. There's the Sasa Airport in the Philippines. There's the Archerfield Airport in Queensland, Australia. But we're going to go over actually a couple others today. And we're going to begin with O'Hare International Airport.
Chicago?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't stupid on that one. Chicago.
Chicago.
I've never been there, so.
Let's take a jaunt back to May 25th, 1979. There were 270 passengers and crew aboard an American Airlines McDonnell Douglas DC-10, flight 191, scheduled to fly to Los Angeles at 3 p.m. So the crew was comprised of Captain Walter Lux. He had flown 22 freaking thousand hours. So he's, you know, he's experienced. Along with First Officer James Dillard and Flight Engineer Alfred Udovich. They were also both very experienced. The DC-10 is also known to be basically one of the most reliable aircraft in the skies. So just nothing too wild should have been happening. The plane took off without a hitch. Then when they hit 6,000 feet, one of the engines completely separated from the aircraft.
Nope.
And went careening over the left wing, ripping out a pretty sizable portion of the hydraulic system. So.
No, that's literally my worst fear. Every time we take off, I wait for one of the engines to explode. Genuinely.
I think more of a bird flying into the engine.
Oh, no. That happened to one of my friends recently, and they had to do an emergency landing because a flock of geese flew into the engine. That's terrifying.
No, it is, and it makes you realize just how little it would take to completely derail your plane, unhinge your plane. I don't know what the saying would be, but yeah. Down your plane.
There you go.
So air traffic controllers radioed the flight and they didn't receive any response. Despite the loss of the engine, the flight continued to rise steadily.
What?
Must have been some sort of velocity or acceleration, something physics-y.
That doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, okay. Shortly after, it started to fall from the sky and it fell into a nearby field. And it killed all 258 passengers and 13 crew, along with two people who were on the ground. So you're not safe anywhere, basically.
Wow.
That's horrific in its own right. That's really awful. I get it, why people are afraid.
That's everyone.
Plus two on the ground.
13 crew? That's a lot. That must have been a really big plane.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think of, like, typically what you would have. Pilot, co-pilot, two in the front and two in the back, right?
This was in 79, though, so I can imagine the service being a lot better.
True. It might have been one of those, like, big ones with the two.
Yeah, could have been. Because it was, what, Chicago to L.A.?
L.A.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
But that's that's what happened. This is undisputed. There were definitely not many people. What you might be a little bit questionable about, though, is the strange experiences that started happening after the disaster, basically around the crash site. So drivers on the nearby highway began saying that they would see bouncing orbs of light and even see figures lurking on the field where the flight had gone down. On several occasions, police actually went in to check out the reports of the lights and figures, but no matter how quickly they got there, they never found anything in the field, just nothing. So these strange sights continued and continued to this day, along with claims that people can hear shouting, moaning, screaming in the darkness, and just strange sounds even though no one is ever there. Dogs also act really weirdly in the area, snarling, barking, and just being all panicky for no reason at all, which, I mean, I kind of get because dogs are...
Dogs are super smart, and they know
that something went down there. And they've got a sense. A sense, okay. Well, residents at a trailer park also near the field claim that within a few hours of the crash, they heard knocking sounds on their doors and windows, but every time they checked, there wasn't anyone there.
That's creepy.
Yeah. They're like,
I don't like that.
Let me in. I was trying to think of something you would say after being in a plane crash, but I couldn't.
I was like, where are you going with this one?
I was thinking about, like, mini bottles of vodka, peanuts. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, continue.
Along with these experiences after the crash, some people even said that they came face-to-face with people, like figures, I guess, complaining that they had lost their luggage or saying they had a connecting flight to catch before just vanishing. For example, a man was out walking his dog and encountered a young man just wandering around the crash site. And he smelled, apparently, faintly of gasoline and, quote, seemed to have a thin smoke or steam emanating from him. The guy walking his dog said, turned to point out a payphone. And then when he turned back, the smoking man was gone.
How far or how long after the accident, was it an encounter like that?
It sounds like pretty immediately after. These were within the days after. It's not even just at the crash site. There are sightings that happen within the airport itself. Purportedly, there's a young man who is wearing an out-of-date business suit, using a payphone near the gate from which flight 191 departed. After he makes the call, he just kind of disappears.
Wow. And that's at the airport?
Yeah.
Spooky.
So if you're ever at O'Hare, look for some payphone strange activity. I don't even know if there are still payphones.
Yeah, I don't know. They have those, emergency phones.
I guess.
I just love that he's in a business suit. Men in business
always
suits.
Always hilarious.
Gotta love them.
One of my favorite things now is seeing men in business suits riding, Lime scooters around town.
Yes.
It makes me so happy. Just tie flapping in the wind.
It's, embarrassing. It's so bad. I hate those things for existing.
Mark loves them. Absolutely loves them.
No. We took Lime scooters from downtown to our house. It's miles. It's a 15-minute drive. So it's miles, and we decided this would be a good idea to do after, drinking one night downtown. It was so stressful. I was wearing heels. I was too scared to go into the street. So I was, bouncing around on the sidewalk, hitting, every nook and cranny. And then mine died, so I had to, get on Zach's, and the two of us drove one scooter around the streets of Salt Lake City.
No, that's terrible. I will raise you one.
Oh, God.
Lisbon, 20... Why am I thinking of a date? It was this last year I was about to say.
Yes.
Okay.
In 2019, the current year...
Shut up.
Yeah. I fucking remember
when you were in Lisbon. I do too much research.
4 months ago.
When we were in Lisbon, I had one of those mornings where I threw up 3 times because I had been drinking copiously the night before. And I agreed to ride a scooter to the museum that day. Mind you, it's 90 degrees out. This is a cobblestone town. Basically, everywhere is cobblestone. And I'm hungover as shit. Also, the museum's 3 miles away.
Ooh.
I pounded so many orange sodas on the way to the museum and basically swore off scooters of that kind for the rest of my life. I was just cursing the world mile after mile, just sweating balls and wanting to puke.
Oh, goodness.
Speaking of modes of transportation... We're going to go to Heathrow Airport and just hop across the pond. One of the most notorious ghosts that's seen at Heathrow is Dick Turpin.
Dick Turpin?
Okay, but this was the 1730s, all right? He was terrible because he robbed, murdered, and raped his way to infamy and was known as a super arrogant asshole. And then he was caught and hanged. So, well, he kind of hanged himself because, as a show, he jumped off the little dais and basically just hung himself. So, yeah. Just on the, when he was getting hanged. But apparently he loves the airport.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the airport was, the setting of his favorite bar or something. But a lot of people have seen Turnpin, creeping around wearing his old-fashioned black overcoat, tri-cornered hat, and is apparently particularly active at night. Airport employees have said that they've seen his spirit wandering around shouting, screaming, and otherwise making a big ol' hullabaloo. And it has even been said to bark, snarl, or howl like an animal.
What?
So,
just
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, think back to Jeff. Jim was just barking at the walls, trying to freak out this
weasel.
So, yeah, people are weird.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be scary to hear somebody.
No, that would be worse.
If you want to mess with people.
Worse to hear a man pretending to howl and bark and snarl. That would be worse to hear that than a ghost.
Yeah. Okay, agreed. I can Gross. See it. I get it.
He's also been known to punch, scratch, and shove people. And in 2004, an airline employee was allegedly dragged by her hair across the counter in front of several people.
Oh my God.
I mean, he was an asshole. He was a dick. Dick was a dick.
Yeah. Was it did the people who saw her get dragged, did they see him dragging her? Or was it an invisible force dragging her across the counter? I'll look into it. That's terrifying.
If you don't have to deal already with all the other annoying things about flying in airports, you get to deal with this jerk of a ghost.
Great.
Heathrow's also a site of a really bad air disaster. So in March 1948, a DC-3 Dakota from Belgian Airlines from Brussels to London hit a really bad fog and crashed, and it killed 3 crew members and 17 of the 22 passengers.
Damn.
Allegedly, when people were doing a search, they encountered a dazed-looking man wearing a suit and hat. Of course, they're always about their business.
Uh-huh.
And he would just appear asking if anyone had seen his briefcase before just kind of wandering off and disappearing.
Aww, yeah, makes me sad.
I know. It's even after death, you're just thinking about your business.
I know, right? Think about having to go to work.
That's the most tragic thing.
It's terrible. Oh, God.
But, yeah, he's known as the man with the briefcase.
Inventive. I like it. Crushing it.
Real good. Real good. So along with the ghosts, there are other occurrences that people report, such as, I read this part just on an article online, and quote, many people report a sudden strange presence behind them, while at the same time being able to hear and feel the pants of an animal on the back of their necks. And I read it how do you feel pants of an animal? And why are animals wearing pants? And how do you feel them?
That's exactly what I thought. It's the pants of animals. What kind of pants are these animals wearing?
Wear pants.
I got so excited when you said that. Just at the thought of little animals
wearing
pants.
It's those are the ghosts. Haunt me as long as you want.
Oh my word. And then I put it together what it actually meant, and it wasn't cool anymore. Yeah,
that was my same thought process. I'm glad you went through that with me. I'm
glad we're on the same page there.
So, we've hit 2 of our stops. Now we're making our way over to Denver International Airport.
Yes. I was hoping you would talk about Denver.
You know I will. I'm actually going to kind of breeze through this one.
Oh.
Apparently, the airport is built over Native American burial ground, which is just never good news from all the stories mm-hmm. we've ever encountered, just don't build on Native American burial ground. Have you seen Pet Cemetery? Don't we do it.
Lesson. Stephen King told us it's not a good idea. Okay, but we did it.
So great. People, though, at this airport, they've reported having their luggage knocked over. They've had phenomena follow them around the airport, being pushed by unseen hands, and just kind of feeling like they were being watched or followed. Some even saying the phenomena would follow them after they boarded the plane. The haunting activity actually got so bad that in 1995, tribal elders went in to do a ritual to appease the spirits.
Oh, dang. Or maybe you're going to tell me this. Did you read about the guy?
Lucifer, yeah. So an artist, Luis Jimenez, died while creating Lucifer, which is just a weird-ass horse sculpture, basically. The horse fell on him. It was 9,000 pounds and cut open an artery in his leg, and he bled to death under said horse. Apparently, he'll show up in photographs of the sculpture. Denver International Airport, like, this can be its own story. That's why I'm actually kind of breezing through it, because there's so much behind this airport. There's links to secret Nazi messages around the premises, that there's, like, a huge system of underground tunnels used by the military or secret societies or the New World Order or reptilian humanoids.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. And I don't want to jump into it when I can't give it true justice. My favorite to talk about today is Thailand's Suvarnabhumi Airport, which I've been to so many times. That was actually the airport that my dad first met me in. My adoptive father met me. And we've got a great little picture. I look like a little infant boy. And,
Yeah,
I've been there so many
That's
times.
That's super sweet. I didn't know that.
And spent many hours eating many McDonald's. Now I wish I'd known all of this going back to it. There are a couple things I'm like, oh, okay, this makes sense as I read through it. So this airport was built over a cemetery. Again, great. Just solid choice.
Why do we do so many stupid things?
And the cemetery was also known as Cobra Swamp. So I don't... The airport, like, even before it was finished being built, construction workers said that they encountered restless spirits, and they could hear chanting, whispering, and shouting, and they just weren't feeling too good about it. But continue forward. Capitalism waits for no one. Over time, though, fears and complaints about the airport became so persistent that the Thai government had 99 Buddhist monks come and do rituals for a 9-week exorcism.
Wow.
And during that time, there are reports that a young baggage handler was possessed by a man named Pu Ming. Pu Ming is an elderly man, and he walks around with a stick and is usually described as having a blue face and an aura kind of emitting from him. And in addition to that weirdness, he speaks in a very faint, wavering, ghost-like voice, I guess. That's what people have said. And along with Mr. Pu Ming, there is also a ghost of a woman holding an infant. And she's pretty dangerous. She'll appear in front of speeding cars and just vanishing right before impact. And she's caused a number of car crashes and collisions around the airport as well. She was even blamed for causing a Thai Airways plane to skid off the runway in 2006. So now, the Suvarnabhumi Airport has 8 shrines on the premises, and there are videos even taken at the airport showing ghosts, which I'm going to send you the link right now.
Have you seen the signs? Like, did you
see that's kind of an Asian thing. There are shrines everywhere. Uh-huh. So it wasn't really surprising, but now it makes sense. It's a huge airport, too. So 8 shrines at least doesn't seem like that many, considering, like, in Cambodia, there's a shrine at every 7-Eleven type deal you go into.
Yeah. can I watch this video?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, there's people. What am I...
So those figures were apparently ghosts there. There's no plane.
Oh, shit. There's no plane.
A security guard took that video late at night.
Whoa.
Some experts who've seen the footage think that it could be a reflection of passengers walking along an adjacent terminal, but others have said that the strange pattern the figures make as they walk shows that they're actually behind the glass of the bridge.
Well, it's super fast, and like the way that they're moving is really, really fast. Like I thought it was a
time lapse or something.
Yeah. Whoa. I didn't even notice there wasn't a plane there.
Yeah.
Wow. Nuts.
They're on their way to get somewhere.
Well, they're going into the airport, too. That's creepy.
So, to kind of wrap up the creepiness happening at Suvarnabhumi, there have been a number of suicides in recent times at the airport. The director I'm going to butcher this name, but director Nitara Kavasana saying that many suicides had occurred since the airport opened just several years ago. So this is actually really new. And at least 3 of those occurred since May. Several years ago, a man from Ireland was captured on video jumping. And I can see it, though. Again, I've been to that airport, and it's got some jumping places, I guess, if you look at it that way. They did eventually, though, kind of section it off so that it wasn't as easy.
Yeah. I don't think I want to go to that airport.
It's kind of developing a reputation as the suicide airport.
Wow.
That's that.
Great reputation.
Yeah, it's actually a great airport, though. Very comfortable.
I definitely remember you telling me when you were living in Cambodia how you would go to Thailand and just, like, eat McDonald's and love life. So I know that you really enjoyed your time there.
Sticky rice, a Big Mac. Sometimes you just got to get your lovely fix. I just loved it, though. People would go for Krispy Kreme. There was a Krispy Kreme at the airport at Suvarnabhumi, and people would get like 5 boxes and just haul them back. And then by the time we'd get back to Cambodia, I can only imagine what a wet mess they'd be because it's so humid.
Gross. Yeah. Krispy Kreme's not even that good.
Pretty freaking good. And this is coming from someone who does not like sweets. They are good right out of the oil,
I guess. When you're standing in line and they like hand you one as a sample. Yes.
Maybe when you're on your way to Boston, you can check out some ghosts and bring me back a story.
I'm super, super excited to get on a plane in a few days. So thank you.
You're welcome.
For that. Yeah, I don't like any of those stories, but I feel like I'm sure there's a lot of truth to them. Like, I've heard a lot about the Denver airport because Zach always flies to Denver, and it's like whatever Uber driver he has just tells him all of the stories and hauntings of that place. But I hadn't heard of the other ones, but I believe it. Terrible things happen when people fly.
Well, you also have to think there are so many emotions tied to flying. Mm-hmm. Like, I have had some of the best experiences of my life in airports, and some of the worst, just emotionally moving and saying goodbye and saying hello. We can link to that video where I surprised you at the airport.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Gold. But when emotions are that high and you're clearly on your way to go do something. You have unfinished business. So if you're dying, you can imagine there being hauntings. It's kind of a perfect recipe.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just how, like, the reasons for travel are so deeply rooted in personal life and emotional situations that it usually, like, hauntings usually take place when it's, like, really terrible or, like, this really kind of momentous thing for people. So I'm sure that there's a lot of kind of what's the word I'm thinking of? Just, you can't find rest. What am I trying to say? You know?
Like, no closure or...
Yeah, or like just these unsettled spirits that got taken in this tumultuous or
really emotional time. They're in limbo.
It's sad. Flying's the worst. We should just not.
All right, anymore. Well, see you never.
I'll drive you. Maybe. It's only like 12 hours.
Yeah, that's not so bad. That could be a 2-dayer.
No, it's not bad at all. I don't know. Ooh. Check out Boise.
Should we do a meet somewhere? I don't know. Wherever's halfway.
We could do that for sure.
Find
like a 6-hour drive.
Paranormy thing to do.
It would take 12 days to walk there. 12 and a half hours to drive. And it looks like our midway point would actually be in Oregon. Like northeast Oregon. We could meet in Bend.
Oh, yes.
I've always wanted to go there.
Food. Breweries.
Yeah. That'd be cool. We should do that. Oh, it's 10 hours.
Okay. No,
I'd still do it.
No, you don't need to do that.
Boise. Boise is our
midway. Okay, yeah. So what do I believe? I definitely believe that there are so many strong emotional ties and experiences that happen in airports. So why wouldn't those places be visited by restless spirits when houses are or anywhere else? Right. So yeah, I don't know specifically of any, I don't not believe anything. So yeah, I'm on board.
I am too.
All right.
I'm into it.
Two tickets to believing.
Believe Town, USA.
Population 2. Dude. No, we've got a whole community. It's great. So we want to know what you believe. Do you believe that our places of flying are haunted by spirits? We want to know. So tell us. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Something Weird Podcast.
And if you have any of your own super spooky or kind of chilling tales that you want to share with us, let us know. Send us a message. Share with us. We would love to hear them. And maybe share them here on the podcast.
And if you enjoyed any bit of this show, episode, whatever, please let us know with a big 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Makes a big, spooky difference. And we just want to reach as many people as we can out there.
Get the truth out there. So once again, everybody, thank you for joining us on another tale of the weird and strange. We're glad you're here with us.
Stay weirdy.
Bye.
You.